Hello, and welcome back to The Science of Work, where I, Dr. Lisa Boulanger, take a deep dive into the habits, skills, work design, and leadership behind global trends in today's workforce. We talk about optimizing work design. While this can mean updating policies, technology, workflow, etc., for most of us, the limiting factor is the, well, human factor. What will have a high ROI is really how well our brain functions and our ability to relate to others. What if there was something we could do that significantly improved our productivity, our creativity, our memory, our ability to learn, and help manage both immediate and long-term stress? Should companies incentivize this activity as a performance enhancer or, heck, maintenance of the brain for their employees? Physical activity has all these impacts for our brain, our mental health, our performance. And while most companies will invest in things like gyms, gym passes, bringing in a yoga instructor, or lunch and learns, few are able to go on record stating that they don't just open the door for the behavior, that they value it so much, it's part of their workday, or they financially incentivize it. In this episode, we speak with Dr. Mark Mitchell, an assistant professor at Western University, where he specializes in chronic disease management and prevention. Mobile health incentives or interventions are his current research focus. He is the Principal Behavior Insights Advisor for Carrot Insights, Inc. and makers of the Carrot Reward app. He's tested the impact of carefully designed financial health incentives. The Science of Work is brought to you by the Quantix School of Business and Technology. Quantix's highly selective online MBA and executive MBA are designed with interactive micro-lessons and individualized feedback every 8 seconds. Experience the future of education. Go to quantix.edu/scienceofwork for more. Everybody knows physical activity is good for you. I understand that no one listening to this podcast is going to be like, oh, I should exercise? No way. We often talk about exercise as it relates to overall health, prevention of disease, and/or as it relates to our appearance. Corporate wellness programs tend to divide themselves into physical and mental health, which actually makes no sense considering that physical activity often falls into the physical health category, but has equal, if not more, impact on our mental well-being. Wellness programs are sold to companies on its importance for insurance costs reduction, reducing sick days, and improving engagement. But there's actually more to the story. There's a myriad of research right now coming out on how much mental health has declined over the course of the pandemic. While some groups more than others and some locations more than others, the trend is clear. It's downward. Physical activity has also decreased during the pandemic. A recent meta-analysis in BMJ Open Sport and Medicine looks at studies representing over 80,000 people, and while the results vary again, there's a decrease in physical activity. And to be fair, in the U.S., there's over 80% of the population before the pandemic not getting the recommended 2.5 hours of moderate activity per week. So we were doing bad before, and now it's decreased significantly. Physical activity also has a direct and immediate effect on mental well-being, as well as a long-term one. And while there's many ways that this happens, one of the most pronounced or the most talked about is the analgesic effects and the antidepressant effects that physical activity can have. And while we know stress and anxiety are a massive issue, particularly within the workplace, we know physical activity has a benefit to that. What about performance? If we think about the skills required for work, physical activity can improve memory, decrease the negative impacts of stress, allowing us to make really better decisions, improves productivity, decreases error rate, and the list goes on. This is summarized in a recent systematic review called Physical Activity and the Brain in the academic journal Genes. From a corporate perspective, again, there's very few people that will put their money where their mouth is. Well, maybe that's not completely true. But when you look for companies that actually pay their people to be active, as in physical activity is part of their workday, Clif Bar is quoted often. Clif Bar being those delicious bars that you take while you're hiking, it fits their brand as being an activity brand. And of course, using it for employee engagement, incentivizing, and recruiting. Lululemon's another one that's very commonly cited in this category, is they pay all their staff, including frontline staff and those educators you see when you go into their stores, to be physically active. Now, I don't know the details of it, but back in the day when I did know it, it was they'd pay for one activity per week. So that's one yoga class, one CrossFit, whatever that person wanted to do. There's a long list of reasons why we should pay people to exercise or financially give them an incentive to do that. A recent thesis from a student at the Reno University looked at the ROI of gym/personal trainers wellness programs on the cost of insurance benefits. These decreased medication costs and decreased healthcare service utilizations and improved productivity. The program offered 8 weeks of free gym membership, as well as personal trainers in a small group setting, and showed a 113.6 return on their investment for $200 per participant spent by Homewood Health on gym memberships and small group training. If compared to the national average gym membership cost, they would be about a 299% return on the investment for insurance companies to cover gym memberships in their entirety. While this sounds all well and good, there's a lot of barriers around this idea. Barriers around facilities and logistics. Things like showers tend to be one of those things that get stuck up on. But there's also the guilt that workers feel. So given that they have flexible time, they tend to use that for personal reasons, like picking up their kids or going to appointments. They will worry that there'll be resentment from colleagues for not working or concerns from management about public perception. Concerns about lost time, and this idea that we still have that look busy work culture. So how can we do this and how can we integrate it? Or how could we incentivize on off hours? So if during work time is not the ideal time, then when or how could we do this? Let's talk to Mark and find out. The fundamental question we're trying to pose here is, should employees be paid to exercise? And there's some real-time examples of people getting a half an hour to exercise. Before the pandemic, I was in Sweden and in the Air France office, and not only did I get to fika with them and enjoy coffee and treats, they have a run club that is within their working hours, and they also have pickup hockey and stuff like that. So what does the research say about this? And what are your personal opinions?
The research suggests that paying people even a tiny amount, like pennies a day, increases the amount of activity they do. That research usually takes place in like a clinical trial environment, so it isn't necessarily applicable in the real world. But there are examples of real world application. And my personal feeling is, yeah, just sort of being one of the contributors to the evidence base, I'm a strong believer that well-designed financial health incentives specifically for physical activity are worth their weight in gold. So if you can, let's say, pay somebody a few dollars a year to be more active on most days, you can expect to see all kinds of health and wellness related benefits that I think employers are interested in.
It's beyond health and wellness too. It's productivity, it's concentration, focus, mental well-being, like all these really great aspects we know are linked to physical activity. I try to frame it because I come from a physical activity, exercise physiology background as well, is it's a performance enhancer. So yeah, it's something that can increase what you're paying most office workers to do, which is to use their minds. Can you tell me about any of those real world examples?
The one that I'm most familiar with is the one that I helped develop and evaluate in Canada. We developed this app called the Carrot Rewards app from 2015. We went bankrupt in 2019. We can talk about that later. But basically what we found in a couple of those population level evaluations was that paying people about 5 cents a day in the form of loyalty points, so like Aeroplan points, Scene points, grocery store points.
Just 1 second for our American listeners. Those are any kind of reward points for, what did you list? Cinema, flights,
yeah, and coffee, groceries, yeah, gas. So it's sort of the theoretical foundation is behavioral economics. So if you can pay people a little bit today, you might encourage more people to make those decisions to be active today instead of making the notorious resolution to be better tomorrow, do more tomorrow. Yeah. And loyalty points in particular are overvalued. So like you might get 10 points at the local coffee shop and in your mind, you sort of overvalue what that's actually worth. So it's actually a really efficient way of providing incentives.
efficient for the company, less so for the individual from a physical activity to coffee ratio anyway. So is the reward right away then? So if somebody is physically active, would they see that right on their app, like, congratulations, you're like 1/1,000,000th of a coffee has just come in?
Yeah, so that's part of the trick is that historically, governments and big companies used to give people rewards that were delayed. So, like the Canadian Children's or Adults Fitness Tax Credit, for example, you sign up for hockey or yoga or whatever, and you get a tax credit like a year and a half later. And that was expensive. It was like, I can't remember what it was, $500, $1,000 credit. And what we found with the Care Rewards experience is that you can give people literally pennies immediately upon physical activity goal achievement. And that combined with other behavior change techniques can stimulate activity. So you're right, like 5 cents a day or whatever isn't a strong motivator, but when you combine that with other behavior change techniques like self-monitoring and goal setting and connecting people with similar others, you know, team-based goals and rewards, then it can actually prove to be quite powerful.
Science of Work is brought to you by Quantic, transforming the traditional MBA and EMBA with interactive platform that's built for the modern student and future leaders. With a focus on innovation and strategy, a mobile-first, network-driven approach, Quantic allows you to learn on your schedule alongside leaders from the world's top companies. Visit quantic.edu/scienceofwork to learn more about the modern MBA. Would you do team-based or any other reward systems or behavior change techniques within the company? What I mean like by that is, are they getting the data, the collective or individual data on physical activity? Does the individual know what information is being received?
Yeah, I mean, you could do it a bunch of different ways. What we did was we kind of left it up to the user or the employee to decide whether they wanted to participate in a small teams-based reward program. So the way we set it up was you just invite one of your friends or family members and you both try to hit your goals together over the course of a week or 2 weeks. So instead of getting rewarded every day you hit your goal, let's say at the end of the week, you get rewarded a little bit more if you and your mom hit your goal together.
I love that because it totally changes the conversation from you go for a run to let's go for a run, right? Which is such a powerful thing. When I talk about leadership, this is exactly what we should be doing. So have you seen, like, this is the idea of being paid cents a day to do physical activity, but the concept usually is that it would be outside of working hours. Have you seen any real life examples of being paid to, like, having that physical activity being part of the workday?
Oh, I see. So like you get paid for 8 hours, but your employer is okay with you taking 30 of those minutes to go for a
Correct.
walk. No, not really. I mean, like I've come across more sort of forward thinking, I don't know if that's the right term, employers where they do increase, you know, the lunch hour from 60 to 90 minutes and that sort of thing. So I guess there is a financial incentive built in there, although it's not as like explicit.
And so this is my question as we go towards more and more flexibility within work. And you are a research professor, so you have all the flexibility in your work. Like you're coming from a tradition that has so much, so you can build it in when physical activity works for you. And so in the traditional corporate setting now that we're really pushing towards hybrid, flexible, remote, this is more and more possible.
Yeah.
But not so rigid in design because you're not being paid necessarily for 8 hours a day. You're being paid for the work to be done. And that's where I think more individual choices coming into play on how we use this performance enhancer.
Yeah, I guess ideally you've got both. You've got the flexibility in your schedule to fit it in, but then also you've got that modest financial incentive to provide that extra motivation. I think the modest financial incentive is probably a bit more efficient. So if you do insist on your employees working 7.5 hours a day or whatever it is, then you could also stimulate physical activity outside the work hours with a modest incentive that will probably cost, you know, pennies on the dollar.
Absolutely. And to all the reasons we said before, even from every company is looking for something to improve mental well-being.
Yeah.
This is such
yeah.
a low-hanging fruit.
That's my big focus nowadays, especially when I'm teaching and talking about the benefits of physical activity. It's not so much about like cutting your risk of colon cancer by 30% in 25 years. You know what I mean? It's like, I want to sleep better today. I want to feel better today. I want to perform better today. I want to have better relationships. So those shorter term benefits are what I've really been focusing on.
I've never once gone for a run being like I'm preventing heart disease for 30 years from
Yeah.
now. It's much more about the performance and how you feel after and the energy you get and stuff.
And yet the public health messaging up until like very recently, it's always like cut your risk of chronic disease.
I really appreciate that you said that because I have in my keynote that exact sentence is like, we have been doing public health messaging so wrong. Like 30 year from now, me can strong arm me into very little, but I can strong arm a donut into my mouth quite easily. So just thinking about that reward system that you create for yourself. And as we start going back to office, if that's what people are doing, or reimagining work, whatever you want to call it, this is like the ability to redesign your habits, redesign and pick up things and strategically bring forward what you want versus what you want to leave behind in COVID. Because we saw a lot of shift in behavior when COVID happened and there was a work from home. So this is like the ideal time to start thinking about this for employers and for employees as they start reimagining work. Is there anything you would say or suggest to people that are getting back into some sort of normal, what they should be thinking about and how to integrate physical activity again from an employee or an employer perspective?
For employees, I would just say don't be stupid and set unrealistic goals. Set very realistic goals. So we all carry an activity monitor in our pockets for the most part, you know, with the smartphone. So take a look at what your average was, let's say last month, and try to do that every single day, or try to do that plus 500 steps every single day. 500 steps is equivalent to about 5 minutes of walking. And that's a very realistic goal, especially when you start to experience barriers and setbacks and that sort of thing. So you don't have to go to the gym 5 days a week or even 3 days a week. And I love walking as a like the initial physical activity behavior because almost anybody can do it. And after a while, it can be quite enjoyable. But that's the one I'd say for individuals or employees is just set realistic goals and use your smartphone to track what you're doing. And then for employers, just try to encourage health and wellness and appreciate the benefits. It's not time wasted. It's time very well spent from like an employee productivity and then even like longer term, short and long term disability avoidance perspective.
I think you're right. And I think on top of all of this, because of what we have going on now, we talked about the war on talent and a lot of companies struggling to get that talent. This is a small thing you can do to show you care about your employees, to be proactive about wellness, which is now not a check mark. This is a must have. This is an expectation. And it's something too that you can kind of connect people and use as an engagement piece or a team building piece. Many of these apps have social features. You can create your own groups. You can go online. You can do that. I asked my employees, I was telling them I was coming on for an interview with you, and I said, now you're going to ask to be paid to exercise. And then there was a long pause and said, could I just work instead? So I think I always talk about this topic as if people enjoy physical activity, but making it enjoyable. So whatever that looks like for individuals.
And that's like it's exercise is a scary word for most people, right? And we're not talking about training for triathlons, which is what most people think. It's walking, like maybe a little bit faster than normal, but it doesn't have to be uncomfortable. And if you do that 5, 10 minutes a day, every single day, the benefits are you can't overstate them. You know, we kind of talked about it a little bit already.
Well, and I think it's important to note that most health benefits are from 0 to basically 10 minutes. It's getting off the sofa has the most health effect. And then it goes up slightly from there. Certainly, we see that 30 minutes a day being ideal and then more great, but just getting out and moving. And that's like taking the stairs in between Zoom meetings or going on listen only mode and doing squats or whatever you can kind of fit in and be creative with your day to get going. Are there any apps or suggestions or programs for those minor incentives or major incentives, either way, for physical activity?
Well, one that I'm most familiar with is called Sweatcoin.
Yes,
It
I have heard of
is
that.
designed a little bit more with dudes in mind. Sweatcoin and cryptocurrency appeals more to, I think, the young male than it does to like your middle-aged woman, for example. But that is globally available. In Canada, Participaction has an app called Up and Go, and they provide incentives. Carrot Rewards went bankrupt, but was purchased by a company called Optimity, and they also provide incentives for physical activity and other health behaviors. And to be honest, like so many other companies are getting into this
Yes.
space, the question is like, are they doing it well, and do they have the evidence to back it up?
The other one that Shoppers just came out with, or Optimum, or something, is that the one that you're talking about? Because I know that they'll incentivize even for reading about health behaviors, and then you go and make a goal, and there's some sort of Optimum points.
One of the new insurance companies called League. You either have to be a League member, or maybe they just developed it. But yeah, in partnership with Optimum, they're providing points for health-related behaviors, which is also pretty cool because Optimum is one of the most, if not the most, popular loyalty program in the country.
While I don't expect work culture to immediately change and allow for physical activity breaks or pay for them, I do hope that we soon leverage the science about how humans work at their best, including the importance of physical activity on mental well-being and performance. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the Science of Work podcast. I hope your eyes were open a little bit towards what exactly physical activity can do and how we can be creative to integrate it to work. A special thank you to Dr. Mark Mitchell for our conversation on this topic and for my team behind the scenes, everybody from audio and editing, thanks Rob, to research that make this podcast possible. For full transcripts and sources, please visit our website at consciousworks.com. Remember, consciously design your day or somebody else will.